Thunder 102.
The opinions expressed by the host of this program don't necessarily reflect those of Bold Gold Media Group, Thunder 102, its management, staff, and sponsors.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Steve Curlander, and you are listening to Curly's Commentary Radio on Thunder 102. Welcome this Election Day to our program, and thank you for joining me this hour. Tonight, we have two guests. One, Russ Heyman, who from Meisner Benefits. We're going to be talking about Obamacare. And later on in the program, we're going to have Jeff Katz, who's a DJ and columnist with the Boston Herald. We're going to be talking a little bit about Election Day today and about politics in America. So let's talk a little bit about elections tonight. I'm sitting here waiting for the results for the gaming amendment, which is extremely important for where I am in the Catskills. I was part of a group of a number of very dedicated volunteers who worked very hard in a grassroots effort to get what's known as Proposition 1, which is seeking to change the state constitution to allow legalized gambling in New York State. Now, up here in the Catskills, which once had a lot of hotels and bungalow colonies, and the hotels were very vibrant, we started talking about getting gaming about 50 years ago. I mean, I was a kid. I was working waiting tables in the hotels when the talk first began about getting casinos established in Sullivan County here and in New York State to try to revitalize a dying tourist industry that was being decimated at that point by basically very cheap airfare fares, which allowed people to go to other parts of the world for the same price that they paid for a hotel room up here in, you know, either at the Concord or at Grossinger's. And, you know, 50 years later, after several failed attempts to try to get the gaming established, we're still waiting. And this seems to be the last attempt that we'll see in probably a generation to allow casino gaming. So, you know, we're sitting here on, I think most of the county tonight is sitting on pins and needles waiting to see whether or not that, whether the state voters who are voting tonight will say yes to the proposition. If the proposition does pass, it looks like that Sullivan County will get at least one casino gaming establishment, maybe at the old Concord Hotel site. And there are other sites in Liberty and in Bridgeville that are looking to try to establish either one or a second casino site. So the turnout in Sullivan County, I understand, has been very, very heavy, more like a presidential year rather than an off-election year. And, you know, I've run my own campaigns. I've run campaigns for others. And usually election night, it's a time when you're feeling kind of anxious about the vote. I mean, everything you could have done, you did. And now it's just a matter of waiting till 9 o'clock for the polls to close and the tallies to begin. And I know in my case, that anxiety continued for over a week because I ran in a very heavily Democratic district, District 9 in the town of Thompson, for the county legislature. And it was a 4-1 Democratic district, and I was able to win by only 21 votes the first time and 19 votes the second time. So as a result, I had to wait a week for the absentees to be counted up and tallied, which really ran. I think they ran 50 for me and 49 for my opponent, Steve Sheriff, who's actually a wonderful guy. We had a great campaign. But, you know, I never had a celebration of my election like, you know, some people tonight will. And, you know, win or lose, I think the candidates who run for office don't get enough credit. And the people who serve in office don't get enough credit, too. And, you know, one thing that campaign people are dealing with now and people in office are dealing with now is a very heavy anti-incumbency attitude among the public. And that attitude, you know, to kick the bums out, let's get rid of the politicians that are in office, it is very prevalent at a local level, at a state level, and at a federal level, particularly in Congress. Last week, I wrote an article about a congressman who had died in Florida named Bill Young, who I think served 3 decades in Congress. And to me, he showed that, you know, the call for term limits, the call to kick people out of office before they mature is really a bad thing. You know, I mean, if you teach, for example, you have to go through student teaching. And good teachers really don't become good or great teachers, you know, in their first or second year in the classroom. It's the same in basically every profession, you know, whether you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, or even a plumber. you know, or any kind of trade. It takes time to learn a job. It takes time to really perfect what you're good at with the job. And it's the same thing that's true for politics. And, you know, this whole Tea Party mentality that, you know, you just have to take on the incumbents, and it's really driving good people out of politics. There's nothing wrong with somebody saying that they want to be a career politician. The idea is that these people who are career politicians have to face elections every 2-4 years or whatever their terms are. And that's when the people decide whether or not to throw them out. What's happened over the last, say, half century is that because of gerrymandering, because of court decisions that require certain districts to be laid out certain ways to include minorities, that you've had incumbents unchallenged in many of these races, whether, again, at all levels of government. So instead, the people really don't get a choice in that regard. And I think that the frustration of having some of the people in Congress now who've been there a while, who have not been opposed, it's just the people are upset that things aren't happening there, particularly in Congress. I mean, there was a poll, I think, a week ago that showed that only 9% of Americans thought that Congress was doing a good job. And, you know, that's a huge number. That says something in itself. But term limits aren't the way to go. Kicking out incumbents who are doing a good job is not the way to go. Because it's not going to encourage people to go into politics that are good people also. One result of term limits, which I found when I lived in Florida, is that there was definitely a political class of candidates and people in office, and when their term limits ran out, let's say after 10 years, they just switched jobs. They kept running for different jobs. It was like a musical chair type of thing. So, you know, election night tonight, if you haven't voted yet, you know, the polls close at 9 o'clock. You know, if you're thinking about voting for an incumbent or somebody who's done a lot of time in office who's running again, don't discount their experience. Don't discount what they can do. Don't discount that they have dedicated their lives to the political theater and to helping people. This Congressman Bill Young, his legacy was that he helped the Tampa Bay area build into a vibrant community, and he helped people daily. Most politicians are really good-hearted people, and they help people. And most of the time, you don't even hear about how their staff or how they individually help constituents. It's only, you know, in our world of fast news, of hard news, you just hear about the bad things. But even like Anthony Weiner, for example, I'm sure he did a great job until his tweets. He did a great job in Congress doing what he was supposed to do for his constituents in New York. And, you know, the voters decided they didn't want him back. And you know what? It may have been a loss for New York City. So with that note, we're going to go and start our interview with Russ Heyman. Good evening, Russ.
Good evening, Stephen. How are you?
Good. So Russ and I were talking before we went on the air, and he's telling me he's a little busy with the changes that are occurring with Obamacare. Tell us what you do, first of all.
I'm an insurance broker, Steve. I've been specializing in health care and benefits for small businesses, Sullivan, Orange, and Ulster counties for much of the past 21 years.
And has the implementation, the beginning of Obamacare, really turned your world upside down at this point?
Yeah, I would say upside down is an understatement. It's I have been working hard to try to come up with an analogy that someone who doesn't do what I do can understand what's happened in my business. It's a complete 360. Everything has changed.
It's a tsunami.
It's a tsunami. The distribution of the product, you know, the service of the product, the qualifications for the product. It's learning an entire new business. It's learning an entire new language.
Now, I have a number of clients for my communication strategy business and for my law business that are small businessmen, and most of them are just pulling out their hair at this point. Has it affected small businesses?
You know, there's a lot of one of the big problems I've seen is there's a lot of miscommunication. There's not a really good centralized location for employers, especially small employers, to find good, valuable information that'll kind of point them in the right direction. There's a lot of misnomers. Employers are not required to offer health insurance to their employees. If you have under 50 employees, there's no requirements. There's nothing that you have to do. There are no mandates. None of those things have changed pre-Obamacare.
Do you find many of your clients are starting to turn their full-time employees into part-time employees of those 50 and over?
No, I can't say that I've seen that, and I know that that was not the intent of the legislation. It was certainly not to encourage large employers or even small employers to stop offering. I do know that there are some large national retail chains that have been cutting back on employee hours. Nobody works more than 29 hours. That's the magical cutoff at the federal level if you've got a lot of employees. That I have seen. But locally, I can't say that I have. I think that employers who have offered health insurance to their employees will continue to do so. They're just going to be shopping in a new playing field.
So let's talk about that playing field. You have exchanges, right?
Correct.
Could you explain what an exchange is and how someone, either an individual or a business, deals with that exchange?
There's two exchanges in every state in the country. New York is running its own exchange. It's called the New York State of Health. The New York State of Health is a state-run exchange. 34 of the 50 states have opted to not run their own exchange. 34 have deferred to the federal government. So when you read online or you read in the newspaper about all the trouble they're having for Obamacare and the websites crashing, that's happening at the federal level. The New York State of Health, our exchange, our state-run exchange, is running very smoothly. I've had a number of interfaces with the exchange, and it's running very smooth. But to go back to your question, there are two exchanges. We have an individual exchange, and we have an exchange for our small businesses called the SHOP, S-H-O-P, which is an acronym for Small Business Healthcare Options Program. So we've got two exchanges, two completely different platforms. If you're an individual and you have a job that doesn't offer health insurance, or you're an individual who has a part-time job, or any number of reasons that someone doesn't have access to health care or doesn't have access to affordable health care, can go on the individual exchange at the New York State of Health, put in their information, create some login credentials, and depending on where they are in the income structure, in the federal poverty guideline chart where people fall, where their annual income is, they will potentially qualify for something called an advanced premium tax credit, which is what's driving people to the exchange. An advanced premium tax credit is essentially money that the federal government is giving individuals to help them offset the costs of their health care.
Does that credit come off their income taxes then?
You have a choice. When you're on the individual exchange, it's an advanceable premium tax credit. So if they determine based on your 2011, which would have been the last income tax that you filed, if they figure that you're going to qualify for a $2,000 advanced tax credit, you can elect to take that in advance as $166 a month off of your premium, and you'll be billed by the insurance company less that premium tax credit. When you file your taxes in 2015, that's when you'll have to pay the piper. They will, when you do your 1040s, if you made more money than you said you made, they may take some of that credit back. And conversely, if you made less than you anticipated, there may be some additional credit.
So for the small business owner, if he has a good year and doesn't anticipate it, he could get banged later on.
But the individual.
Okay.
For the individual. On the individual exchange, this is purely an individual transaction.
So are more people actually really going to sign up for health care because of this?
On the individual exchange, yeah, very much so. New York State was New York State is very unique, and I want some listeners to understand. Healthcare reform is a piece of federal legislation. New York State and all of the 50 states run their own health insurance departments. So, the federal government sought to create legislation to essentially homogenize 50 different sets of laws and try to make it universal for everybody. A lot of the problems in healthcare and issues that people had around the country weren't really happening in New York. New York, for example, pre-existing conditions. I mean, I've been in the business since 1992. We've never had pre-existing conditions in New York. They have it in other states. If you're in Tennessee, and you get sick, they could double your premium. That doesn't happen in New York. You don't get canceled if you're sick in New York. A lot of the protections at the federal level were created by Obamacare, that things that New Yorkers, you know, had been taking for granted for many years. So, you know, New York has been far ahead of the rest of the country. The problem that New York has always had is where can an individual person go to buy insurance? I've never had a market for, you know, if Steve is self-employed and his wife doesn't work and wants to buy insurance, I really didn't have a place for you to go. I'd cobble together a chamber of commerce application or some place to put you. It would be some parking spot. You'd have to join some association. It's been very difficult for individuals. And those who are able to find coverage are considered, you know, the most disenfranchised residents of our state. People have been spending $13, $14, $1,600 a month for individual coverage on what they call direct pay in New York, and they've been paying it for years. Now, through the individual exchange, they're able to buy plans. And I had a woman in my office about 2 weeks ago. She reduced her premium from $1,200 a month down to about $500. She was thrilled, and she got a better plan than she ever thought possible.
This is Steve Curlander, and you're listening to Curly's Commentary on Thunder 102. We're talking to Russ Heyman about Obamacare. So far, it sounds good.
Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, so... You know, my clients are saying that the quality of the insurance is going down to some extent with higher deductibles, less choice in terms of doctors. Is that true?
Yes. I mean, that's a broad statement, but what I've seen.
I'm a lawyer, I see.
Yeah, try to keep things simple. I think that I have seen a lot of there's a lot more. The politically correct term is cost sharing. We do a lot more cost sharing with insurance plans in 2014 than we did before. What that means in layman's terms is the copays tend to be higher. The deductibles aren't any higher than they've ever been. You know, deductibles have always been there. What's different now is that, you know, once you meet the, you know, historically when you meet your deductible, you know, you've sort of come to the promised land. You know, woo, I met my deductible. Now I can go to the doctor. You know, people would go, you know, and start to seek care because they've met their deductible. Now, the plans that do cover you, once you've satisfied the deductible, now you've got copays. It's very difficult. You know, you have to incur a lot of expenses before you get to a point where everything is covered in full. So there's a lot more cost sharing, which, you know, can be construed as a bad thing.
So if you watch the news the last 2 days, they have President Obama being accused of lying because he's telling people they could keep their old insurance policy. I mean, I'm warning Joe this morning. They had probably 5 minutes of a number of times, probably 30 or 40 different times that the president had said that. Is that really true?
I don't want to get too political, but
this is a political show, so you're okay.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't think he meant to lie, but I think ultimately he did because, you know, my clients and the clients in New York, very few people are able to keep the specific plan they had.
Did the insurance companies change them as a result of this? Is that what happened?
What's happened is there were a few benefits, what they call the essential health benefits. There were a few benefits that New York did not have covered on their plan, that did not have mandated into their plans. So in order for health insurance companies to be compliant with the new law, they had to bring their current portfolio of plans into compliance. Things like pediatric dental, something that's never been covered on a health plan in New York. Now, beginning 2014, every single child on a commercial health plan in this country will have access to a very comprehensive dental plan, including orthodontia, fillings, endo, periodontics, the whole nine yards are now going to be mandated into every health plan.
That particular benefit, I mean, I hear pediatric dentistry, and my skin, I get goosebumps because that means tens of thousands of dollars.
Correct.
I mean, I think it's the biggest racket going, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been through it. Now, does that coverage really cover that type of thing, or are parents going to have to pay 80% of it?
You know, right now it doesn't exist because it's happening on January 1st, but in theory, it does. In theory, it's going to cover half the cost of braces. With no annual cap. Most plans.
No pun intended.
No, right. No. No annual cap. I know I've sold dental plans over the years, and they've always had an ortho cap of $1,000 or $2,000. It was always a 50-50 benefit. It's still a 50-50 benefit, but there's no cap.
That's really helpful to the parents.
It's going
to
be a boon for the dentists, that's for sure.
Okay, and they really need it.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're going to take a break now. This is Steve Curlander at Curly's Commentary. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Michelle Samarano on the next Siliberto and Friends. We'll get our Sullivan County Area Farmers Markets update with Danielle Gable. Barry Lewis from the Timetail Record joins us on the Thunder Line. We'll find out what's coming up in Barry's column this coming weekend here in Thunder Country. And Dr. Stuart Tashman from Wurtsboro Medical Associates joins us on the Thunder Line for our Thunder Country health update. And I will not be here on the next Siliberto and Friends. Yep, I am headed out on vacation. So Jonathan Charles Fox from the award-winning River Reporter will be filling in for me on the next Siliberto and Friends. And I know Jonathan will do a great job sitting in for me on the next Siliberto and Friends if he just follows the one cardinal rule. Keep feeding Siliberto.
Siliberto and Friends. Weekday mornings on Lightning Hot Country. Lightning Hot Country. Thunder 102. Thunder 102. Thunder 102.
The Animal Hospital of Sullivan County cares about your pet's health. That's why they created the We Care program. With this program, you can customize your pet's wellness care and finance it also. Every pet has special needs, and with the We Care program, they can make an affordable plan that works for you and your pet. The Animal Hospital of Sullivan County also has 0% financing available. All you need to qualify is a debit card and a driver's license or ID card. They also have a loyalty rewards program where you earn points which can be used towards future services for your pet. Plus, for any veterans, make sure you go to the government center for your favor card, good for 10% off services. For more information on the We Care program, call 845-292-6711. That's 292-6711. Or visit AHOFSC.com. The Animal Hospital of Sullivan County. They care about your pet.
Take a trip around the world and into the funky, hippie, chic boutique. Find handmade, world-influenced, colorful, and comfortable clothing with a bohemian flair. Jewelry and gifts from around the globe, chosen for its uniqueness. Flashback to the days of Woodstock, when everyone was first introduced to the dashiki. At Funky Hippie Chic Boutique, you'll find the perfect housewarming gift in their Casablanca room, featuring Moroccan ceramics, specialty salts and rubs. The Funky Hippie Chic Boutique is open Wednesday through Sunday on East Broadway in Monticello, across from the Monticello Greenhouse and Farmers Market. Visit FunkyHippieChicBoutique.com for your online shopping experience. Like the Funky Hippie Chic Boutique on Facebook and share them with your friends. Take a trip around the world at the Funky Hippie Chic Boutique on East Broadway, Monticello.
Refuges begin and dreams are achieved. Sullivan County Bosies, it's your destiny.
Sullivan BOCES has been serving the educational needs of the county since 1950. But as times change, so has Sullivan BOCES. So the next time you think of Sullivan BOCES, think about this. Exceptional programs for students of all abilities. Prevention and support services for our families. Instructional services for our teachers and management services for our local school district. BOCES is dedicated to increasing student performance in our community. That's what BOCES is about. To learn more about the programs and services BOCES has to offer, log on to scboces.org or call 845-295-4000. Follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Sullivan County BOCES, where futures begin and dreams are achieved.
At the M&M Auto Group in Liberty, it's never too early to start celebrating the holidays. This is the time of year we partner with great organizations like Toys for Tots, Hilltop Homes, and Thunder 102 to carry out the M&M Auto Group mission that no child in Sullivan County should be left without a toy for the holiday season. season. To help us achieve this mission, consider keeping your business local. At the M&M Auto Group, give us a chance to show you how easy we make doing business in Sullivan County. With every new or pre-owned car purchased at the M&M Auto Group, you are helping fund the M&M Auto Group's mission. If you aren't in need of a car or truck, that's okay too. You can still be part of the giving by providing a new unwrapped toy for the children in need. Just bring a toy to our showrooms in Liberty, and our partners in this worthwhile initiative will handle the wrapping and delivery. We are so blessed by our customers and friends that help us to ensure that all the children in our county share in the holiday experience we enjoyed as children and now continue to share with our family's children and grandchildren. At the M&M Auto Group, you're not only going to love buying your next car from us, you're going to love knowing that you make a difference. And thank you.
Lightning Hot Country. Under 102.
The opinions expressed by the host of this program don't necessarily reflect those of Bold Gold Media Group, Thunder 102, its management, staff, and sponsors.
Welcome back. This is Steve Curlander, and you're listening to Curly's Commentary on Thunder 102. If you have any comments you want to make to me, we're going to do a hashtag. I wanted to say hash browns, but it's a hashtag Curly's Commentary Radio with K's. You do that on Twitter, and you get a message to me. I'm watching. I'm waiting. We're talking to Russ Heyman from Meisner Benefits. We're talking about Obamacare and its effect where he practices in New York State. And so far, it sounds pretty good, Russ.
It's got its share of problems. It's the learning curve. I think once a couple of years go past and they work out some of the kinks, once the educational component is out there and people can become comfortable with the new platform, I think ultimately it will work. I think it's, you know, I try to compare things to what they were before, and people say, well, my plan was better before, but a lot of people didn't have better plans before. A lot of people didn't have access to health care, and I think the Affordable Health Care Act, as problematic as it is, I think it does provide access to health care to segments of the population that did not have access prior.
Now, these exchanges, they're government run?
Yes, they are. In New York, it's run by the New York State of Health, which is, it's partially federally funded. But
it's
run
by the government.
It's run by the government,
see,
yeah.
You know, I when I see all these problems with the federal website, my initial reaction is that, you know, I'm being very cynical, that they're doing it on purpose just so that the federal government could eventually take over the whole healthcare industry, go to a single payer type of system. And do you think that we're going to land up with that, let's say, in a decade or two?
From your lips to God's ears, Stephen, I hope that that's not the case. I don't think so. I think a single payer system, if people really think about it, and I'm not picking on elected officials, but in my
I just gave a lot of reasons not to. So.
In my opinion, government tends to do things less efficiently than businesses.
See, now my experience with dealing with health insurance companies, I hate them. They're terrible. I mean, in terms of whether I have to deal with them or the government, sometimes I wonder which one is worse or better. You know, and you're telling me the New York State Department of Health is doing a very good job at this point, right?
So far, I mean, so far, so good. I take a look at like a Medicare. Medicare is an enormous federal program. When Medicare came out in the 60s, you know, they were rioting in the streets. Nobody like this is terrible. What a horrible plan. Medicare, Medicare, Medicare. Now, 40 years later, you know, Medicare is the standard by which most plans are measured by. Doctors love Medicare. People reach Medicare age just like they've won something. Back in 2003, I was a big part of the rollout of George Bush came out with the Medicare Modernization Act in 2003. They created prescription coverage for seniors. Prior to that, if you were 65 and you had Medicare, you had no prescription coverage, period.
Do you find, though, that I found in Florida that the seniors down there made it a vocation to go out to eat early and to go to the doctor. I mean, I found, this is my own impression, I don't know whether it's, you know, statistically true, that there was, you know, I forget what they call it when you trade stocks over and over again.
Churning.
Exactly. I felt that the doctors were churning and taking a benefit, you know, advantage of it. I mean, you'd go to a waiting room in Florida and, you know, they'd be sitting there for hours. I mean, every day you know, these elderly people just go to a different doctor.
My father's in Florida. Dad, it's a Medicare card. It's not a credit card.
Right.
It's a Medicare card.
Some of the questions I have is whether the cost of this stuff will ever, you know, not go down, but just stabilize. And I think, you know, you have the lawyers running up the costs with the litigation, right? You have the doctors performing defensive medicine. You have people who are taking advantage of the benefits they have. I mean, are those things being addressed with this new rollout?
You know, the healthcare, the Affordable Care Act did very little to make healthcare, the component costs, physicians, hospitals, pharmaceuticals, and medical device manufacturers, be it an MRI machine or the people who make ostomy supplies or wheelchairs, those component costs really were not affected by this. We're providing access so people can get insurance coverage to cover these things.
See, the reason I'm asking is like one time I had to go for an X-ray. So I went to a hospital. They wanted $500. I was paying out of pocket at that point because I didn't have insurance. I went to an immediate care. It cost $75 for the same X-ray. And is this new wave of insurance going to address some uniformity in terms of pricing?
The short answer is no. I don't see that happening. The big component cost in healthcare is, and I tell this to my clients all the time, hospitals. If you stay out of the hospital, you'll never hit your deductible. If you're not going to reach your maximum out of pocket expense if you stay out of the hospital. The big component cost of healthcare is hospitals. Take a look at your elderly population. You know, something like 65% of the money that's spent on healthcare is spent in the last 6 months of life. Go into a hospital and you'll know what I mean. I myself was in the hospital for one night in February, had an hour and a half back surgery. It was $52,000 later. One glorious
night. See, that's crazy. That's crazy. How much is that bloated up? I mean,
it's the question is, you know, I use this as an example. My neighbor actually up here in Sullivan County, my neighbor is a chemist. He's a scientist and he worked for a drug company in Jersey for 20 years, developing a medication, almost got it to patent, but it failed at the very end. This drug would have increased the quality of life for someone who had end-stage sepsis, would give them a better quality of life their last 3 months of life. And the cost of the drug was somewhere between $80,000 to $90,000 a person. So where
is that per pill or
per treatment?
Per treatment.
So then whose responsibility is that? Is that a responsible drug to manufacture? How do you tell, you know, grandpa that I'm sorry, you're not going to spend the last 3 months, you know, with your grandson on your knee. You're going to have to spend it in a hospital bed. Is $80,000 a fair price? If you say it's not, then, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are not going to spend the close to $1 billion it takes to bring a drug to market. So it's a very delicate line. How do you control pricing?
I'll give you another example. You know, the National Institute of Health came out with this dire warning about superbugs. I mean, there hasn't been a development of antibiotics in the last 20, 30 years because it's not profitable. So the antibiotics that were developed in the 60s and the 70s are basically becoming ineffective at this point, and there's nothing in the pipeline to fix it. Now, my whole point in this is that this reform has allowed more people access, but there definitely needs to be more reforms in every other aspect of healthcare, right?
Every aspect. I say this every day. It's a good first step. And I think it's great that they did something. It's making I needed this. My expression is I needed this like a poke in the eye. It's
that'd
made
be
my
covered now though, right?
It would be covered.
Yeah,
$50 copay. It's the new law of the land. And I think that for me, I have no choice but to embrace it. Try to make the best of it. Try to understand it. Try to explain it and communicate it to my clients, and make sure that they can navigate through and find themselves the best, most cost-effective health care for themselves, their families, and their employees. That's all I can do.
Oh, well, thank you. Why don't you tell us where people can get in touch with you?
Oh, by all means. We're Meisner Agency. We have four locations. We're in Bloomingburg. Our main office is in Woodburn. We're in Livingston Manor. And we are also in Orange County in Westtown. Myself at Meisner Benefits. We're in Woodburn. We can be reached at 845-436-1910.
And you have an email?
I do. And that would be Russ, R-U-S-S, at MeisnerBenefits.com. B-E-N-E-F-I-T-S. Benefits. Meisner, M-I-S-N-E-R.
Well, thank you for coming in. This is Steve Curlander. We've been talking about Obamacare. And you're listening to Curly's commentary on Thunder 102.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. That was really good.
Here's what people are saying about Lightning Hot Country, Thunder 102.
Stay when it first started it, and it, you know, makes you feel good, and I just like it.
Thank you, Thunderheads.
Radio Bold.
Radio Bold. Radio Bold.
Get the app
free for iPhone and Android
or at RadioBold.com.
Okay, where do you want to go for dinner, honey?
I feel like gourmet dining. Fine food served beautifully with nothing but the best. A large, elegant salad, a glass of wine perhaps to melt away the stress and... And yes, a sinful dessert.
A big, smothered burger, hand-formed and char-broiled, served with fries, lettuce, tomato, and sliced red onion on a toasted bun. And don't forget the pickle. And then I top it off with a thick, homemade chocolate shake.
Honey, why can't we agree on anything when it comes to restaurants? I want to dine well tonight, no fast food. Oh, I wish there was a place where we could both be happy. Heavenly.
You can both be happy at one place. Miss Monticello Diner on Broadway in Monticello. Miss Monticello Diner opens daily at 7 a.m. with items on the menu for anyone's palate. They have new and traditional American fare. Burgers, hot dogs, Italian sandwiches, seafood, vegetarian Tex-Mex, and much more. Miss Monticello Diner is perfect for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Miss Monticello Diner on Broadway in Monticello.
I just got done waiting at the doctor for 2 hours with my two sick kids. I wish I didn't have to drag them to the pharmacy to get their medicine.
I have a really hard time getting in and out of my car since I have arthritis in my knees. It would be so much easier if I didn't have to go to the pharmacy for my medicine.
Whether you have little kids, have a hard time getting around, don't feel well, or just don't want to go to the pharmacy, there's now a solution for you. The Rock Hill Health Mart Pharmacy now delivers. Yes, you heard right. The Rock Hill Health Mart Pharmacy will deliver your medicine to home or work in Fallsburg, Rock Hill, South Fallsburg, Woodridge, Monticello, Wurzburgo, and more. Call 791-1515. That's 791-1515 for details on their new delivery system. Or stop by the Rock Hill Health Mart Pharmacy on Rock Hill Drive, just down the road from Crystal Run Health Care. Rock Hill Health Mart Pharmacy, caring for you and about you. Call 791-1515. That's 791-1515 for details on their new delivery system.
U.S. Alliance!
What did you discover at U.S. Alliance Federal Credit Union?
I discovered that getting a car loan from U.S. Alliance is one smooth ride. Applying online was quick and easy, and I got in on their great summer promotion. Use car loans at rates usually reserved for new car buyers. Rates as low as 1.99% APR. Plus, I could take up to 60 months to repay, and it didn't matter if I was buying or refinancing. It was still the same great deal.
Discover great financing deals for new and used wheels at U.S. Alliance. Apply online at usalliance.org or call 800-431-2754, 800-431-2754, or visit any branch. Terms and conditions apply. U.S. Alliance is federally insured by NCUA.
Discover the U.S. Alliance difference.
At Robert Green, we don't just put you in a good car, we put you in good hands. For nearly 50 years, Robert Green has been putting customers first with great service and fantastic value. We build our reputation on doing business the right way. We're not here to sell you a car, we're here to build a relationship. Community involvement has always been something we take pride in, and our doors are always open to local causes. Our dealerships carry a full line of Chevrolet, Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep vehicles, as well as Ram trucks, Fuso trucks, and commercial truck equipment. We make it our mission to give each customer a one-stop shopping experience. That means quality vehicles and the most competitive prices. Robert Green, proudly serving Sullivan County for almost the last 50 years. Exit 107 off Route 17 in Monticello, New York. Online at robert-green.com.
Thunder Country weather.
Partly cloudy this evening, then becoming cloudy after midnight. Lows 33. For tomorrow, cloudy skies to start. Partly cloudy later in the day, and the highs 54. Cloudy tomorrow evening, then off and on rain showers after midnight. Lows around 45. On Thursday, rain, highs in the low 50s. Friday, windy with sun and clouds, highs in the mid-40s. Partly cloudy Saturday, highs mid-40s.
The opinions expressed by the host of this program don't necessarily reflect those of Bold Gold Media Group, Thunder 102, its management, staff, and sponsors.
Hi, this is Steve Curlander. Welcome back. You're listening to Curly's commentary on Thunder 102. My next guest is kind of a special person to me. I listened to him for years down in South Florida. He's now a Boston Herald columnist and DJ. I'd like to welcome Jeff Katz. How are you?
I'm doing great. How's yourself?
I'm good. Is Boston still celebrating?
Yeah, Boston is still luxuriating in the Red Sox victory, and we're electing a new mayor today. So there's all sorts of good things happening.
Well, let me ask something. Do you think that they're going to repeat like the Yankees for the next decade or so, or do you think it's a flash in the pan?
Remember, you got a lot of Yankee fans here, so. Yeah, I know. That's one of the high crimes and misdemeanors here in Boston. But no, I don't think so. I mean, they're already talking about the guys that they're not going to bring back, and
a la Farler Marlins, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Steve, it's sort of like this was the season that wasn't supposed to be. This was the rebuilding season, and nobody was supposed to do anything, and so. Everybody here went sort of for a wild ride, and it happened right after the Boston Marathon bombings. It really started taking off. So everybody's enjoying it, but I don't think anybody's thinking repeat.
That's kind of too bad, isn't it?
I would think so. I mean, I'm not, I don't know, I'm not a baseball expert, but I was certainly happy to see the Red Sox win. They gave a lot of life to a city that kind of got kicked and punched with the marathon bombing, so everybody really jumped into this, and a lot of people didn't realize that bombing actually took place right after a Red Sox game, so a lot of those people had left Fenway, gone down to watch the last part of the Boston Marathon.
Wow.
And so these guys really, they said that they felt they had an obligation to it, to help the city and feel better about itself and rebuild a little bit, and so I guess they did.
So are things in Boston as crazy as the rest of the country in terms of going after incumbents and trying to sweep people out of office?
No, please. This is like living in the Soviet Union. You have a choice of one party. It's one party rule here in Massachusetts for the most part. And, I think usually the choice is, are you going to vote for the guy who identifies himself as a socialist or the guy who identifies himself as a communist?
So
those are really our two choices at this point.
So somewhat like living on the Upper West Side of New York, huh?
It's exactly right.
So, you have Governor Christie being elected governor in New Jersey, probably ready to start a presidential campaign. The Democrats didn't put up any opposition, basically, to him. They didn't invest any money in the campaign. Is he the go-to guy for the Republicans in the next 2 years or 4 years to get the White House?
It's a good question. I think that the, I sort of hate these terms, but we've got to use them. The establishment types, look at Chris Christie, is pretty acceptable. Mitt Romney on Sunday basically said, yeah, this is your guy. The problem I have is that I don't feel that I need advice from failed presidential candidates like Mitt Romney or John McCain. Chris Christie, I think, is an interesting guy, though, and I think he has been able to really use the power of his personality to advance to the point where he is, and I think that's something that Republicans, in large part in the past, have really missed out on. We've had guys who have essentially been boring guys in blue suits, and a lot of talk about.
They're skinny too. They're not. This guy's fat.
That's right.
This guy you may want to say about Bill Clinton, but he liked the Big Mac.
That's right. It makes him relatable.
Right.
Empathetic.
I just wrote an article that's going to come out later this week about talking about how Charlie Crist, who was governor in Florida as a Republican, basically, he always
he just, you know, from a bad point of view, he was like a windsock. He always did whatever whatever the polls said to do. You know, looking at him from a good point of view, he really took some significant stances against the insurance companies down there and against the utilities. And, you know, I remember when I was working the McCain campaign, the big issue was early voting, whether to keep the polls open, because there were lines for literally, you know, a mile or two.
Right.
And people couldn't. And he stood up to the establishment GOP and opened those polls to for another 3-4 hours a night. And, you know, so I'm looking at him now, a Democrat, you know, just like Arlen Specter changed. And he's either going to go down like Arlen Specter because he's not going to be able to relate to the Democrats, or he's going to become a new type of Democrat, much like Christie's going to become a new type of Republican. I think that's really encouraging in terms of trying, you know, having people that can work with the other side. You disagree with me?
Listen, I think that Ronald Reagan was right about those people with whom you agree 80% of the time. You've got to focus on that, and there's nothing wrong with having some disagreements with somebody. I think those of us who are married figured out that you never get 100% agreement on anything.
It never gets better either. You know, it's like you just have to, it's a day-to-day thing, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think you also... Again, when you're speaking as an old married guy, right? You figure out, you know, I don't really care what color the curtains are. This is not the battle for me. I'm going to take a pass on that one. And I think the same thing applies for certain political things. I don't think people have to trade away their core beliefs, but I think as reasonable, intelligent people, you go into this and you say, listen, this is my perspective, and I'm not going to compromise on certain fundamental beliefs, but the reality is you're inside of a government structure, an apparatus, and there's got to be some give and take. There's got to be some negotiation and some compromise, and I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that, and I think that we've become hyper-polarized.
I think part of that, though, is the way I think news is broadcasted. I mean, I you know, you have guys like O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, who make a ton of money building causes to the extreme. And it's true on the left also. You know, I mean, and I think that's a big part of it. And then they get hit with a guy like Chris Christie. I don't think they know what to do with him. You know, because he's going to ruin their business.
Well, and I think, you know, it's funny. Here's part of the problem I have with my side of the aisle, you know, and I am a Republican, and I'm right of center and conservative, and anyway, whatever labels are in vogue these days. But I think certainly on my side of the aisle, we often assemble that circular firing squad.
Right.
And, you know, we've got 100% purity test on a lot of different issues. And if you're not up to snuff, then you don't get to be part of this. Now, I think the other part of it, though, the other part of this discussion is there's a real sense amongst the grassroots people that you've got an establishment sort of class within the Republican Party, the sort of the country club, check pants Republicans.
The Bushies.
Oh, this is the guy we're going to run. You know, and I think a lot of people look at that and go, well, you know, it hasn't worked out all that well recently, you know?
Yeah, and that's where I think a guy like Ted Cruz, I love Ted Cruz. I don't agree with much of what he says, but I love the fact that he came to Washington and said, you know, screw you to the Senate. I'm going to represent my people and represent what I believe is right. And he got up there for 24 hours and stood there and spoke like nobody's done that in a long time, you know? And I think he's helping to turn that also, even though he's not part of that moderate, you know, compromising thing. I think you need guys like him also in the process.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, there are a number of folks, I think, who are there these days. You've got Ted Cruz, you've got Rand Paul, you've got Mike Lee. You know, you've got some very real, consistent conservatives who have sort of drawn the line in the sand and said, this is what I believe, and these are the issues that are important to my constituents and my voters, and we're not going to give it all. I think the problem invariably is that Republicans don't get a fair shake in most of the media. And so I often...
I'd say that's true with conservative Democrats, too. I don't think reserved to Republicans.
Conservative Democrats.
No, they exist. I think that, you know, they're part of that Nixon silent majority or the Reagan Democrats. I think they're out there. I think they're in Massachusetts, as a matter of fact. I think that the country is begging for moderation at this point. You know?
Well, I don't know. I think that the certainly the issue in terms of media coverage, and I warn people who are conservatives of any stripe, Republicans in particular, that when they're waiting for this fairness and they are shocked when they are not covered fairly, that's the part that they need to get over.
Right.
If you go into it and understand you're not going to be covered fairly or in an equitable fashion, then you can run your own campaign. You know, you can do what you need to do to get your points across. I think the problem on my side of the aisle, again, has been a lot of folks who are very, very nice and assume that everybody else is very, very nice and everybody is...
They're following script. They want the script followed, and they're not getting it anymore.
Exactly.
So after tonight, you know, the next cycle starts. Do you see another group of Tea Partiers being elected, or do you see more moderates being elected on both sides of the aisle? I mean, do you think the extremism is going to continue, or do you think guys like Chris Christie will start bringing other Northeast, especially in the Northeast, other candidates to come out?
You know, it's a great question, and I wish I knew the answer to it. I think that...
Well, that's why I have you on, Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff.
I think that there's a big burnout from the government shutdown. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think there are a lot of people sitting out here who have identified themselves as Tea Party people and constitutionalists and the rest of us, and are still sitting there going, okay, tell me again what we accomplished, because I don't know what was accomplished, and I really honestly to this day cannot quite figure out what the upside is. You proved that you could shut down a portion of the government and we could live without it. Absolutely. That's tremendous, and I don't think any of us up until this point really thought that we needed the panda camera at the Washington National Zoo, you know, and okay, so we proved that we could live without it. But it also came across, and whether it was intentional, in fact, I'm going to go out and live, I don't think it was intentional, but it came across in such a way that it's easy to paint those people, meaning us on this side, those people were obstructionists and they didn't care and they shut everything down. And I think that's going to be a tough situation to defend or get over, again, because you're not dealing with a series of press coverage events that are fair or equitable in the first place. So I think that John Boehner comes up a fairly big loser in this, but I think the Tea Party people also probably get perceived as losers because they shut it down and they didn't walk away with anything. So no, I don't think that there is going to be a big groundswell overall.
Jeff,
but one point, though, where you might see some kickback, though, is that the Obamacare rollout is such an unbelievably terrible, pathetic situation. It might be enough to get people to focus on that. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Virginia tonight with Terry McAuliffe and Ken Cuccinelli, because Obamacare in the last couple of weeks became a big issue in that. So,
Jeff... My producer's glaring at me. Do you know what that's like? She's telling me that, you know, wrap it up. So, Jeff, Jeff, let me ask, can you tell my listeners where they could read you and where they could listen to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to bostonherald.com, and you'll find all sorts of things to read and all sorts of things to listen to.
And you write regularly for them, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so I'm going to start posting send them to me so I can start posting them. Okay, now she's really yelling at me. So this is Steve. So thank you for coming, and I hope you come again to talk to us.
I'd love to do it. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks. And I guess that's it. This is Steve Curlander. Thank you for listening to Curly's commentary on Thunder 102.